Online Offline Bottom Line Sendoff.net。
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog, the podcast, the show where we talk about everything related to marketing plus technology. On the show today, episode number 18, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl commercials. On the panel with us today is Eric Fish Ista. How you doing today, Fish?
Doing fantastic.
Also with us today is Darren Livdahl.
Hello.
And from the studio side, we have Mr. John Lundwall.
Hello.
And Derek Brewer is with us as well today.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. On the phone today, we have a couple special guests, and this is going to be the first part of our show today. We have a couple members of the Dandy Dwarves. They are a very creative production company that came up with a commercial submission that they gave to Doritos. Unfortunately, it didn't make the cut this year, but according to all of us, it should have won hands down. So on the phone, we have Mr. Matt Charpentier. Morning, Matt.
Yeah, hello.
How you doing? I hear you're in the car right now. Where are you heading?
I am in the car. I'm in Nebraska, driving to San Francisco, helping my roommate move out there. So cool. We're driving from Fargo to San Fran over the next few days.
And also on the phone is executive producer Josh Lind. Josh, how you doing?
Doing great.
Where are you calling in from today?
Today I'm in Chicago. Kind of been floating around for the past couple weeks, but here I am in the Midwest.
All right. Well, I just kind of wanted to get your take on the whole experience. You submitted a commercial for Doritos, and you made the top five, and you were in a 2-week voting period where the public got to choose which one made it into the Super Bowl?
Yeah. So we made it in the top five, and then they opened it up for, I think, 21 days for people to vote online for their favorite commercial. So there's all sorts of promotion and PR that ensued, and everyone's just trying to get as many votes as they could.
How did you get involved with this?
Well, we're kind of a young production company, and a lot of our background is in short filmmaking, and we want to take this step into commercial production. But I was noticing that when I was pitching to agencies or talking with people in the ad world, there was kind of a disconnect where they couldn't really translate the value of our abilities with short film into the 30-second or 60-second spot. So what we realized is we started feeling the need to fill our reel with a little bit more ad work, a little bit more of the 30-second and 60-second spot work. And so rather than just making specs for, spec commercials for a made-up company or just a random company, we thought that doing these contests would be a good idea where we'd have an actual goal, an actual product, and an actual payout if we did well. So it was kind of a goal to, one, get more commercial work on our reel, and then, two, to have a potential payout and also, possibilities for promotion within the contest.
Did Doritos provide any financial support during production, or was this all on your dime going into it?
No, it was all we had to bill for production, but if we placed in the top five, there was a $25,000 payout.
So that helped a little bit.
It worked out. Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on some of the other competitors in the top five group? What did you like about the ones that that the public picked?
Well, I thought each one of the five were interesting. There's a little
very
bit of variety
of
for sure. And what's that?
Very diplomatic of you. They were all interesting.
they're varied. So, I had my own opinions going into it about who was competition and who wasn't. But I don't know.
America's vote seemed to say otherwise.
After meeting the guys, I really appreciated each one of their spots a lot more. And, you know, I guess it's not so much a matter of production value always now, and I think it's hard to tell what people are going to like or what they're going to respond to. And we've been able to watch all of them screen in several different venues, and each time it seems like a different reaction, a different response as they play. So the ones that won, it was a bit of a surprise to me, the one that actually took home the first place. But what they had going on their side is that they had actually placed in the top 5 2 years prior in the same contest. So they knew the whole voting component. They really had a very smart game plan for it and really were able to dedicate literally those full 3 weeks to getting votes and securing their spot as, you know, the highest voted. So there was, and they also, you know, had some sort of planning for having their spot resonate with the USA Today ad meter. Mm-hmm. They actually planned their spot around the timing and pacing of what is successful with the ad meter. So they really had a lot of planning and preparation going into it that I think really paid off for them.
A little bit more politics, I suppose, than you probably cared to see.
It makes you wonder how things, you know, work behind the scenes, but mm-hmm. All in all, I think, you know, they earned it. They got the most votes. They got themselves, you know, a venue to show on the Super Bowl, and who would have thought they would have won $1 million for it? But mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy for them.
What was one of the favorite moments during the production process that you liked?
Well, it's always interesting with productions. You never kind of know how it's going to break down. But one of the funnier moments was we had been developing this idea over, you know, a pretty abbreviated amount of time and really had to kind of work quickly with it because we were working on other projects and kind of had a full load at the time. But this is just something we couldn't pass up. And we had an idea going into it. We had already cast. We had already found our location. And we were pre-lighting the night before when we all kind of looked at each other and said, I don't know if this idea is working. So, of course, what ensued from there is another sleepless night of brainstorming last minute and going all over the place with our ideas, but ending up with something that we felt was really strong and worked with the elements we already had in place. And it's something that I feel actually was what got us into the top five. So it all worked out in the end.
Very nice. Sharpie, what, you know, you were obviously helping out from a distance on this one just because of logistics. What roles were specifically tied to you in this production?
Well, basically, specifically with Too Delicious, not too much.
sit back and take the credit. I love it. Welcome to Hollywood.
I just kind of, I talk to Josh about once a week, and he tells me what's going on. And obviously, I can't be there all the time, just when I can afford to get out and help out when I can, which I love to do as much as possible. But I just try to make sure everything is handled smoothly as far as things from an online standpoint and everything's up and running and working for the team and make sure that they're able to get their brand of the Dandy Dwarves out there.
Mm-hmm.
And looking good.
Looking good. Have you, Josh or Sharpie, have you had any calls because of your efforts here with the latest Doritos ad?
Well, it's hard to hear. It's hard to know where they're fully coming from, but they're coming. So we've been kind of spending a lot of our efforts trying to get out there and considered for more legitimate commercial work, and it's starting to happen. So, however it's happening, you know, it's good.
Hey, Josh.
I think Lon was actually asking about groupies. Are there any groupies that you're getting now because of this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought so.
Hey, what was
most of those though? He passed them all his way.
Without getting in too much detail, what was the criteria for joining the contest? Was there things that you couldn't be, or anything like that?
Criteria is pretty wide open. Really, they just wanted to see what the consumers would come up with as a relevant ad for Doritos. They placed a couple restrictions on what music could be used. They provided several different tracks, but that was just for rights and clearances. And other than that, they really left it wide open for everyone to interpret what they thought was the best idea for a commercial.
And how many were actually submitted? Do you know?
Yeah, there was just under 2,000 unique entries. So it was quite a large pool of submissions.
And I'm assuming that number has grown over the last 3 years.
I think the first year they did it. This is only the second year they've done the commercial contest, but I think the first year was about half that.
Okay.
I'm not sure, though.
Are you going to try and submit next year, do you think?
Well, they were talking to us about it. Like I mentioned, the guys who won it this year had placed in the top five last year. So with the way it paid off for them, it sounds like it would be worth our while to try it again next time they do it.
I wanted to compliment you guys. You know, as a young production company, you also created a little, you know, how we did it video when it came to some of the special effects, and I thought that was pretty smart, being able to showcase some of your more high end capabilities and a unique behind the scenes look of this thing.
Well, thanks. Yeah, that was something we really wanted to do, because I think a lot of the stuff we really manipulated to make our commercial special is almost subtle enough to go unnoticed. So I think that showed, you know, some extra care that we had taken with the project.
Cool. You guys have any other questions for the dwarves today?
Well, I just had sort of an interesting comment. Sharpie, I don't even remember, you know, our well, back Sharpie and I and another guy had a podcast going on called fisharmel.com. Yeah, check it out. And we had our first was a super secret episode that we were going to hide somewhere on the site. And that was our first one. It was talking about the Super Bowl ads. And we actually brought up the Doritos thing and talked about it. And I know the big question with us was like, okay, who's actually submitting? I mean, is this like people with a camcorder, or is it like actual agencies or, you know, production companies, things like that? And so I think it's kind of funny and ironic that you guys were in it now after we were asking that question. But yeah, it was interesting because, you know, Sharpie and I both being from the you know, the advertising business, that just kind of the whole consumer generated thing. It's like, okay, is this a threat? Is everybody going to be making their own ads now? Yeah. But yeah, good job, guys. That was great stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think all of us in here are agreement. And I'm, you know, we're probably obviously biased, but we thought you guys had the best one out of the top five. And I think that another thing I was going to ask you is, you know, When you look at something like that, it seems like there's such a small window between with what audiences really resonate in, and as a creative director or shooter or writer or whatever, you feel this is really good and you've hit a home run, and then, you know, voting comes in and it's just maybe not as big as you were anticipating. How do you find that, you know, that little window that's open where, you know, creatively it's really good and you can look back at it, be really proud of it, but yet it also resonates with the audiences that you're trying to get to?
Yeah, I think Sharpie and I have talked over the years many times about how we just fight with judges and we never really understand what people are looking for. And you know, this is another case of that, but I think it's always that way. I think you make something that you like and that resonates with you, and who knows how many people are going to be in agreement with you on it or how many people are looking for something else. And so for this, we put in something that we felt confident in. And I think, you know, you never know. You never know what people are going to respond to. And we've heard a lot of people say what you guys just said, and that they really respond well to the spot. So, you know, that's really reassuring. And I didn't mention this yet, but Doritos kept saying, the executives at Doritos said the same thing over and over about how each one of the spots were picked for a reason and that they really liked them. And because of that, they're actually, throughout the year, they're going to be airing all five spots as their 2009 campaign.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, cool.
So not a total loss on our end.
Yeah, no kidding.
Pretty exciting.
I think so. One strength of the Dandy Dwarves is that the writing for all the projects and all the work is always it just always impresses me in that it's always something family friendly and something that can engage all audiences. And I just think that's important that we keep doing that, and then it'll eventually pay off. So if we just keep doing what we're doing rather than trying to guess what the people want, I think we just stick to our guns and creating something for an audience where that everybody can enjoy it. It doesn't specifically involve drinking or sex or profanity or anything like that.
I like it.
You like the things he just stated, or yes?
I like the things he just stated.
I am a fan.
I am a fan. All right, guys. Well, unless you got another question for the Dwarves, I'm going to let him go here. I know Josh has got places to go and people to see. So thank you very much, both Josh and Sharpie, for being on the show with us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You guys take care.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, now we're going to swing into part two of our show. And what we wanted to talk about is our basic top five picks of the Super Bowl ads. And we're going to start with Mr. Eric Ista.
I'm going to start by taking a bite of a Dorito. Oh.
Very good. And that leads us into...
Yes. All right, top five. In no particular order.
I tried
to order these, but
all right.
I don't know.
All right.
Each time I think about them, I like another one better. Although, I don't know. Pepsi Max might be number one for me. I'm good,
that one.
Oh, wow. I got the giggles when I saw that thing. First, the piece of wood shooting out of the... where's the wood? There's music. What's going on?
You're hearing music?
Yeah, I'm hearing music.
I'm hearing
music.
I think it's Hank Williams or something.
I am not hearing it. I don't know where you're hearing it.
I'm hearing music playing right now.
Okay.
It's coming from the phone.
Oh, I bet it is. Let's just... There you go.
That's it.
Was that it?
That was it. Hurrah. I love podcasts.
Oh, I thought it was a new country microphone. Where...
Okay.
All right, so Pepsi Max, the board shooting out of the table saw, that just got me and kept going. Funny little side note to that one. Later on in the evening, we had our own Pepsi Max I'm good moment when one of the guys at the party gave the other guy a bear hug and put his head through a light bulb. And that man is, in fact, Mr. Darren Livedahl, who is sitting next to me right now. He went through a light bulb at our Super Bowl party.
Oh, that's right.
It was awesome.
Were you good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one, Hulu. And I actually didn't see that one during the Super Bowl. It was when I went to Hulu and watched the ads with the one with Alec Baldwin. I thought that was hilarious stuff. I love their tagline about taking over the world. Made me giggle. Bud Light Lime. It wasn't like, didn't make me laugh or anything, but it just kind of made me feel nice, you know, especially living in North Dakota with the cold weather going on right now. And
it'd be nice to have a bubble like that.
A little bubble of summer just hanging around you all the time. I wanted to drink some Bud Light Lime. The Coke heist one, I thought they've kind of done that before with the whole sort of small creatures getting together to open up a giant bottle of Coke, but I thought they did it really well and it was just kind of fun.
Those were very good for just really reinforcing that Coke brand.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't drift at all from what they've been doing for the last, you know, X years.
Right. Yeah, no, I thought it was great. And I'm sure we'll be seeing that one in the movie theaters and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be what they do is they just kind of take that and then run with it for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my top five that was actually not seen was, of course, Too Delicious with the... yeah, that was it.
Okay. Darren.
All right. Well, I got five here that I kind of organized into... different categories. I don't really have a list from one to five as far as my favorites, but I guess my overall favorite was the Hulu spot. Also, I watched that one on online afterwards as well, but I just kind of got a kick out of Alec Baldwin being in it and the character that at the end just explaining how our brains are going to go to mush from watching too much TV and their tagline alone. What was it again?
I don't remember.
Evil plot to take over the world. Or something. So they're just, I thought it was a pretty humorous spot. And then my second favorite was one of the Coca-Cola ads with the avatars. I guess it spoke to the geek in me. So I liked watching all the different variations of avatars coming out and how they animated and created all those characters. Funniest one that I I liked was the Castrol Edge, the Grease Monkeys one with the king in his little garage there wearing the oil filter crown or whatever.
Okay.
Got a kick out of that one. Cool. And then another funny one that I enjoyed was the Conan O'Brien Bud Light ad. The one that he had done in Sweden, that was...
Yeah,
that, I happened to actually catch had, that
That was
one.
On my top five, but then I had to throw in the two delicious stuff.
Yeah.
That ad to me felt more like a promo for Conan than it did a spot for Bud Light. I mean, that was all about him.
Yeah. It's kind of a...
All his humor.
Combination there. And then my last pick, because I know they had some early... they had pretty entertaining movie trailers. I'll just mention a movie, which was the Angels and Demons one that I thought was kind of nice to see during the Super Bowl. So,
okay. Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of trailers this year.
There was.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down as a note that there's a lot of TV promos and movie trailers, and I don't know if they're having a tough time filling those slots. And
that's what I was wondering too. I mean, part of the economy.
Look at all
the Fast and Furious trailer.
Look at all the sequels that are coming out this summer. I mean, it's going to be a huge competition for those box office dollars. And you know, they were probably looking ahead, the studios that advertised in the
Super Bowl. Land of the Lost is getting my money. I know that.
Mm-hmm. but I think also there is, you know, the economy and how many car ads were not in there this year. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the ad revenue coming in, what are you going to do but promote something of your own, you know, station? So I think it was more than just the, you know, the amount of movies coming out this summer. I think it was, you know, the lack of other big names not being there.
Yeah.
Before we continue on with our other favorites throughout the Super Bowl, I have a question. What happened to the Miller 1 second ads? Or was that just a ploy to get us to go to the internet and watch them?
I wondered about that because I wondered how are you going to place that?
I was waiting for those things.
Yeah, I never saw them.
I saw them on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw them online. I went to the Miller site and saw them. Yeah.
I think we got virally sucked in and went to the site and watched them.
Well, actually,
that was just it.
Actually, a TV second is way shorter than an actual internet second. So they were there. It was just, you know, like a blank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was watching the HD feed. Was there a separate commercial reel for standard def, folks?
Standard def.
only the standard def folks saw the 1 second ads. Okay, Mr. Brewer.
All right. I guess I have a top five. I also have a worst five if we ever go there.
There you go. I got that too.
No, I got my number one for that one,
really, because those are more interesting to me. But I had top of the board, Two Sexy Doritos, the Dandy Dwarves. There should have won. Glad to hear there's a little
too
bit
sexy?
Of... Too Sexy? Too Sexy. Too Delicious. You know, that was my favorite. Then I'm Good, the Pepsi one. I liked the Crazy Pets Pedigree, anything with animals. I kind of like that type of stuff. And Career Builder, the kind of weird looping type one that was a bit psychedelic.
That one was different.
That one made me giggle a lot, too.
Right?
I like the guy that walks by Dummy.
Right, and it's weird, though, because I saw that there's like a voting for like the worst five, that type of deal, and that was on there. But that was definitely one of my favorite. And then Hulu for me. And I don't know if I like that spot because I like Hulu. And when it popped on, I'm like, oh, Hulu's awesome, that type of deal. And I wonder how much that plays into it of, you know, if you like the product and they're on the Super Bowl, like, you know, you feel part of the team. And so that's five. I guess the Doritos one didn't play. So if I had to add another one, it'd be the monster with the moose butt hanging out. You know, I kind of thought that was some good symbolism of, you know, what it obviously
said. It did a good job of telling the message.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. John.
All right. These aren't in any particular order either. I also like the Pepsi Max. I'm Good. I think one of the reasons I really liked it is the special effects were so real. I mean, it looked like that 2x4 hitting that guy right in the back. And you know, I mean, it's over the top, but still it was. And, you know, we've all done that before. You've gotten, you know, maimed as, you know, hard as you can. I'm good. Yeah, shaking it. I like the E-Trade Baby one, I just because I know it's been done before, but I thought that introducing the other little guy in there was kind of funny, and I, you know, the fact that he just wanted to sing, I thought that was kind of cute, but...
The timing on all those edits and lines were pretty good.
Yeah. Also, Hulu, we've talked about that one. I like the Bridgestone Taters. with the Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head driving down the road. Yeah. I like that one for another reason, or kind of the same reason that I like the Pepsi Max I'm Good, is because visually it was extraordinarily done. I mean, it looked like they were really driving down the road, and, mm-hmm. and I thought it was kind of clever. And then I like the Laugh My Ass Off for Thursday night shows. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. LMAO clinic and mm-hmm. people coming in to have their butts put back on. So those made me laugh. And then I just had one honorable mention. I liked it just because it was such a simple idea, and it was visually, I thought, really well done, was the GE Scarecrow with the smart grid technology mm-hmm. to the song. I just thought that was really well done. It wasn't one that made me laugh, but it was. I thought it was really.
I thought that too.
Yeah,
kind of for me. I mean, seeing ads like that, and then ones like the Bud Light Lime and Monster with the right. moose head and the moose rear in the other office. It's kind of like it separates into two categories. It's like some are there just to like entertain me, it seems, uh-huh. and others are there to actually make me want to do something. Like Bud Light Lime, I'm not a fan of Bud Light Lime, but seeing the ad, I kind of wanted to try it again because it's like, oh wow, it's going to make me feel like summer.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm doing that right now. Yeah. Pepsi Max, I laughed heartily, but it didn't make me want to go buy Pepsi Max at all. I mean, it was very entertaining, but, and then like the Moosehead one, like Lon just said, it really effectively, I thought, in 30 seconds communicated what Monster can do for you. I mean, you got good job on this side, excuse me, you got the ass end on the other side. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's obvious what's going on here. So, I think, to me, watching those commercials is always interesting where it's like, okay, how did they sell this? I mean, are they selling like this grandiose idea and the people in the room didn't really understand what they were trying to do with this spot? And it's just like, oh, that made me laugh really good. Well, as long as everyone in the room is laughing, that's fantastic. We'll put it up there. Or, I mean, was there some sort of thought behind it? It's like, oh, okay, this is to our brand. This is what's going to sell.
And I think that goes,
wanna try our product.
That goes back to the Doritos ad. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, Too Delicious was more of a thoughtful, kind of a clever kind of a reaction to it. I laughed and I thought it was really, where the others were more of the slapstick, mm-hmm. pie in the face kind of a thing,
Right.
And that's why I think I like the Too Delicious better than the others. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason.
Yep, exactly. No, I felt the same way.
Okay, let's before we I swing back to Derek here cause with his
Lon, list
of baddies. You basically covered them all. I mean, I don't know if we missed any.
But, the bad ones. We missed the bad
we
ones.
We missed those the bad ones. Great. All right. Well, the one that, I don't know if I can call it bad because it was memorable. isn't that part of the game? When you got a washed up former sidekick,
the gold one.
And basically, the cash for gold. It was one of the first ads that I can recall that it's basically the here's the phone number at the end, here's your call to action. Mm-hmm. And, it was a little different for a Super Bowl ad, but.
Oh, Derek!
I'm sorry, that was
it made O'Reilly sad. He totally had to tell everybody how sad he felt after watching
tragic.
That one.
It makes me sad.
Yeah.
It's tragic. It was nice to see Bill MC O'Reilly again.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where I was thinking. Yeah. I was thinking about busting out the CD. And,
I didn't know he had gold left to sell.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought he's living on Easy Street when I saw the commercial.
Yeah, that was it was just creepy. I thought it was because you knew
creepy is a good word.
You knew that you knew the story about McMahon and what's going on in his life, and now he's like just peddling gold. It's like
it's a job. The guy's doing what he is to make money.
Yeah.
So, but at the end when he says goodbye, old friend, to the gold toilet. Wow, really?
Yeah.
All right.
What else you got on your baddie list there, Derek?
For me, and I guess, it blew my mind when I saw they continue this into the Super Bowl, because you think that this would be a great time for a fresh start. The Sobe Lizard.
Oh,
I don't know if I'm not the demographic. Adding fantastical dancing and football players in a very frothy drink. I don't get the combination.
It goes back to, I think, is this going to make somebody want to try your product? And no way did that. No.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the one from last year, obviously, though?
Yeah.
What did you, there's no comparison to the two, is there?
Oh, ridiculous.
No. Yeah.
I think
that was one of my top fives for last year.
Yeah.
Oh, really? The dancing lizard?
I just thought it was just wildly entertaining. I don't know why. Maybe I had one too many Bud Lights at the time.
I thought it was
that was on my bottom list for last year.
Last year, I thought it was interesting because it was different. But this year, it just felt like the same thing.
Well, I mean, it kind of combines the badness of that Geico lizard and dances it with football players. And I don't know. I wasn't there.
Wait a minute. You don't like the Geico lizard?
Well, I guess I'm glad they weren't there. Some things I was confused about. Cheetos, they're evil now. What? I guess I didn't necessarily dislike it, but...
Chester Cheetah's now a dirty old man. Somehow. Yeah. He went from it ain't easy being cheesy to, hey, baby, right? What's your sign?
The next one, his head's going to be spinning around, and, you know, I made a mess.
Wow, yeah. Cheetos, that one was out there.
Is that Patrick Stewart that's doing the voice for Chester Cheetah now?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
It sure sounds like him. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was not a fan of the Clydesdale ones.
Me
those
too.
Bad.
They just irritated me
those
for some
really
reason.
Bad.
It's just, I don't know if it's because horses don't like horses or what.
Horses don't have personality. Yeah. You know, they'd cut away and worry if you have a dog or something like that. They got some personality, but horses, you know.
Yeah. Why the long face?
Yeah, if they're selling like Zoloft, I can see a horse selling that. Oh, bother. I'm a long-nosed horse.
And Derek, you spent time out in Wyoming and you don't like horses?
Why?
Yeah, right?
Of course, there was GoDaddy.
With the sexism, I don't get where they're going with this. It's like they're rolling back the clock to like 1984 there. Yeah.
But I did have to go check out the uncensored version of it. It's really not worth going there for. So, I don't know. They did effectively get me to go to the site. I already had a site registered with GoDaddy anyway, so it's not like they sold me anything else. But yeah, I did. I did actually go there and check it out because I, too, like Chester Cheetah, a dirty old man.
On that note... Thanks, everyone, for joining us for the show today. As always, if you have questions for any of the panelists here on the podcast, you can send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net. For Fish, Darren, John, Derek, Josh, and Sharpie, this is Lon Keller for Sundog, the podcast. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.